Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13. Text 28 to 30, Brahma stealing the boys and calves. Text 28.
Ekada charyan vatsan.
Sarama vanam avisha.
Panchashasu chiyamasu. Hayana puranish vaja.
Ekada charyan vatsam
ashat
chushyamasu ayana puranish vaja.
Ekada charyan vatsam
Sarama vanam avisha
panchasa sutiyamasu
ayana puranish vaja. Ladies? Oh.
Ayam pursa Sarama vanam avisha.
Panchasya chiyamasu
Hayana puranish vaja.
Ladies?
Ekara charya vatsan Dhammavanan avisha Shasya chiyamasu Ayana Puranish Vaja.
Ekada, one day, Charyan Vatsan, while taking care of all the calves, Saramha, along with Balaram, Vanam, within the forest, Avishad, enter. Panchasu, five or six. Chiyamasu, nights. Hayana, a whole year. Apurananishu, not being fulfilled. 5 or 6 days before the completion of 1 year. Ajaha, Lord Shri Krishna. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. One day, 5 or 6 nights before the completion of the year, Krishna, tending the calves, entered the forest along with Balaram. Purport. Up to this time, even Balaram was captivated by the bewilderment that covered Brahma. Even Balaram did not know that all the calves and cowherd boys were expansions of Krishna, or that he himself was also an expansion of Krishna. This was disclosed to Balaram just 5 or 6 days before the completion of the year. Text 29.
Tito vidurat charato gavavatsan upavajam govardhanatri shirasi charantyo dadishus chinam.
Translation. Thereafter, while pasturing atop Govardhan Hill, the cows looked down to find some green grass and saw their calves pasturing near Vrindavan, not very far away.
Dishtva tatatsnehavasya smitatma sagovrajatyatma paturkamargaha Dipat kukut griva utasya pucha, God dum kritar ashupayachmena.
Translation. When the cows saw their own calves from the top of Govardhan Hill, they forgot themselves and their caretakers because of increased affection. And although the path was very rough, they ran toward their calves with great anxiety, each running as if with one pair of legs. Their milk bags full and flowing with milk, their heads and tails raised, and their humps moving with their necks. They ran forcefully until they reached their calves to feed them. Purport. Generally, the calves and cows are pastured separately. The elderly men take care of the cows, and the small children see to the calves. This time, however, the cows immediately forgot their position as soon as they saw the calves below Govardhan Hill, and they ran with great force, their tails erect and their front and hind legs joined, until they reached their calves.
Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langete kirim yaki pantamam vande siguru tibetavina. Om agyana timirandasya gananjara sharakaya chakshur meditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha.
Bus. So they had sneha. They were controlled by sneha, and when you're controlled by sneha for Krishna, you forget everything else. So, yes, we should be like those cows. We should run to Krishna. And actually, Srila Prabhupada gave us a taste of that when he was here, because he called us and we ran to him. He just called. That it says that in 10th canto later on, chapter 20, it talks about how the frogs are croaking when they hear the thunder. So when the acharya calls, then we come running. Well, not everyone, but those who are fortunate come running when they hear the acharya call. So sneha, why did the cows run so fast, so full of affection? Because their calves were Krishna. They had sneha for Krishna. And they were all bewildered by Yogamaya, including Balaram. Everyone was bewildered by Yogamaya. And so, yes, Krishna's desire is stronger than Balaram's. And the example of this is when their sister, Krishna and Balaram's sister, Subhadra, was supposed to be married. Balaram wanted to marry Subhadra to Duryodhan. And Krishna wanted to marry Subhadra to Arjuna. And Balaram told Krishna, and Krishna remained silent, didn't say anything. He didn't say, you know, he didn't say anything against it. But then, by Krishna's will, Krishna's desire was fulfilled, not Balaram's. Subhadra married Arjuna. So Krishna's desire nobody can stop, and this is another example of that. So Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, Lakshmi Saraswati Hari Jat Yogamaya Anantamamana Mohe Jasavarachaya. Unlimited universes are bewildered by Maya, the shadow of Lakshmi, Saraswati, and other internal potencies of the Lord. So Shivati Saraswati Siddhanta Saraswati comments, Yogamaya removes the covered and thrown conditions from the conditioned souls enjoying propensity, and they help us get unalloyed devotion of Krishna service. And when we see Yoga Maya for our enjoyment, then we get punished, we get thrown, we get covered. So it's the same energy, but it's how we see it. When we see it for our sense enjoyment, then it becomes Mahamaya. But when we try to use everything for Krishna, it becomes Yoga Maya. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, when we see the things of this world, we should not see them as sense objects. We should see them as our guru. We should learn from them. We should learn. So if you want to find out more about that, you have to read 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first few chapters. But anyway, Maya and her opulences are like shadows of the Lord's spiritual energy, Saraswati, Lakshmi, and they spread a network of ignorance. So everyone's bewildered in this material world by Maya, Mahamaya. But in the spiritual world, everyone's bewildered by Yoga Maya. So it's a different kind of bewilderment. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that from the day after the bewilderment of Brahma, that means a year ago, all the cows would ignore their newly born calves at the time of milking and feed their calves which had stopped taking milk from their udders. So that's very strange. Now why didn't Balaram notice that? Why didn't all the Brijabasis notice, hey, these cows are acting weird? Why didn't they notice? Because they were all covered by Yoga Maya. So they didn't notice, even though they saw the strange behavior of the cows, the gopis, the gopas, Balaram, didn't think to investigate it. So that's what Vishnu... So, oh Krishna, why didn't Krishna tell Balaram what was happening until now at the end? Because he didn't want Balaram to suffer separation from his friends. If he knew they were all Krishna, then it wouldn't be so much fun as with all the friends. Balaram wanted to have the friends. And so, yes, Balaram, later on, we'll see a few verses later, he's feeling astonishment. How wonderful it is. My ecstatic love for Krishna is attracted to so many cowherd boys, calves and cows. So he was also bewildered, just like everyone else. In the material world, we're also bewildered. How can we understand Krishna and develop this affection for him? Prabhupada, in a purport, in 9th canto, chapter 9, verse 42, gives us a four-point program, how we can develop affection for Krishna. And in his purport, he says, asakti. We can develop asakti by doing these four things. So most of us are struggling with anartas, anartanivritti. Let's see how we can develop asakti for Krishna. And so Prabhupada says, we need to see the deities. We need to worship them, offer things to them. We need to chant Hare Krishna, and we need to preach. If we do these four things, we'll get asakti. So we need to understand Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, now we're going back to Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the seed of knowledge, and it sprouts in Srimad Bhagavatam and gives flowers and fruits. So let's hear where the seed comes from here. In, of course, 7th chapter, verse 1, Maya Saktamana Partha. But even before that, in chapter, the end of chapter 2, the last purport, Prabhupada says, one can attain Krishna consciousness or divine life at once in a second, or one may not attain such a state of life even after millions of births. Now here's the important sentence. What makes a difference between a second and millions of births? Two things. Prabhupada says, it is only a matter of understanding and accepting the fact. We have to understand, and not only understand, we have to accept. Kadvanga Maharaj attained the state of light a few minutes before his death by surrendering to Krishna. So understanding, okay, we understand so many things. Yes, Krishna's Supreme Personality of God and not this body. But then we have to accept it. So there's jnana, there's knowledge, then there's vijnana, or practical application of that knowledge. And so there is a verse, janma karma chame divyame evam yo viti tatvata. If you understand Krishna's karma, his work and his activities, of course he doesn't have karma, but karma means work. Krishna doesn't have work. But anyway, that's what Gita says. Janma karma chame divyam. If you understand Krishna's karma and activities and janma, you will not take birth here again. Prabhupada is, I mean, that's really hard. How can we understand Krishna's birth and activities? But Prabhupada is more merciful. In his lecture on that verse, he said, even if you don't understand, if you just try to understand, you won't take birth again. So Prabhupada, he's our go-between here. So, and he tells us how to accept Krishna, like a child crying for its mother when you chant Hare Krishna. And one of the first lectures, he says, Mother Hara, helps the living entity achieve the grace of Hari. So if we chant Hare, then Radharani will help us to get Krishna. So if we cry loud enough, then she'll pick us up and give us to Krishna. So Prabhupada, in many lectures, he would say, we must cry and beg Krishna, please accept me. And then another very special lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that if we chant very nicely, Krishna will come and Krishna will say, please accept me. And Krishna may be coming and saying that, but we don't hear him. It's hard. And another time Prabhupada said, we get up in the morning and we think, I have so many problems. We only have one problem. How to accept Krishna. That's our problem. So when you think of all your other problems, think, oh no, this is the first problem. How to accept Krishna. Because so many things are happening in our day that we think, well, this is not Krishna. But everything's coming from Krishna. So let's hear about that four-point program. Prabhupada says, if one daily sees a deity in the temple, makes offerings by worshipping the deity, chants the holy name as much as possible, and preaches, he becomes attached to Krishna. This attachment is called asakti. And then you can fulfill the mission of life. Now, Bhagavatam, in the prayers of Shukadeva Goswami, talks about this process. Pancharatrakya, the deity worship, and Bhagavat, Shravanam Kirtanam, combined. So this is very similar to a verse in Bhagavad Gita 18:65. Man mana papam bhakto majaji mam namaskaru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. So what does Shukadev say? Yat kirtanam yat samaranam yat ikshanam yavandanam yat shavanam yat arhanam lokasya sadya vitrati kamisham tasmai supatra shavase namo namaha. I offer my obeisances to the all-auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrance, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Now this verse is a little different from what we usually hear, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. One thing is added here, and that is Ikshanam, see the deity. Isn't that interesting? So Shukadev is adding something here. It's okay, because he's Shukadev. Goswami, we shouldn't add anything, but Shukadev adds that Ikshanam, we should see the deity. How nicely dressed is Radharani, how nicely dressed is Krishna, how they're wearing, what color are they wearing today? And he also goes on to say that Ikshanam, seeing, means seeing the books of Prabhupada, seeing the pictures in the books. He said, book distribution, let me see the book. And then he will see the picture. Oh, yeah, okay. Who is that? Who is that boy and girl? And if they open the book, they'll see more. So I'll tell a story I told a couple years ago here, but probably you weren't here, or even if you were here, you probably forgot it. So I'll remind you. That is, one devotee distributed a book to one person. He took the book home, and his roommate picked up the book. His roommate was a drunkard, always drinking, always intoxicated, picked up Bhagavad Gita. He read one line, for the soul, there is neither birth nor death. Ah, rubbish, he threw the book. But then the time came when he drank a little too much, and the Yamadutas came to take him, and he went to Yamaraj. Yamaraj said, you are very sinful, you have to suffer. And what do you say now? What are you going to do now? What do you say for yourself? And the drunkard somehow remembered that line of Bhagavad Gita, for the soul there is neither birth nor death. Near death experience. Yamaraj said, okay, go back. He went back, he picked up the Gita, read it front to back, and became a devotee. Found the address, and this is a true story. He joined the Brahmachari Ashram. But then one day, after about 6 months, he was feeling a little, oh, this is too austere, I need a drink. Went to the bar, started drinking the whole day. Nighttime came, and the man said, okay, we're closing, you have to go home. What are you going to do now? Well, he thought, oh my God, back to the temple. Because that was the same thing Yamaraj said to him. So he got really scared. So if you just read a line of the book, even Prabhupada said to Shudakirti, even one word of Krishna book, you can be saved and go back to Godhead. So ikshanam. Ikshanam means see the deity, see the book. We should also see the book too, not just distribute it. We should open it someday, I don't know. If you all get a chance to read, it's a very busy time, but every day we should open the book and see it and hear it. And that will save us from being in Maya the rest of the day, hopefully. So kirtanam, smaranam, we can chant, we can remember, and if we're more intelligent, we can offer prayers. And if you're expert, Prabhupada said, trained by your spiritual master, you can worship the deity Arhanam. And if you do this, then very, very soon, you will be free from your material contamination. Lokasya sadyo vitunoti kamasham. Sadya, immediately. Now, I'm going to read another verse from Shukadeva's prayers, 2.4.16. This was 2.4.15. This verse is very similar to the verse of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Paritya Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. Surrender to me, give up all varieties of religion, surrender to me, I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. So let's hear. Now this verse, Krishna says, I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Listen to this verse and listen what Shukadev says. He upgrades it from what Krishna says. So see if you can catch it. Let me offer my respectful obeisance again and again unto the all-auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, the highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences, and without difficulty progress toward spiritual existence. So the upgrade is, like Krishna said, I'll protect you from all your past sinful action. Shukadev said, he will protect you from all present and future attachments. Now, isn't that great? Not just the past, even now, even in the future. Bhagavatam is so beautiful. Like Gita's a seed, Bhagavatam sprouts it. It churns and sprouts the seed. So, and the purport is even more beautiful. I'm going to read Prabhupada's translation. He does connect it to the verses in 18th chapter, 64 to 66. He says, my dear Arjuna, you are very dear to me, and therefore only for your good I will disclose the most secret part of my instructions. It is simply this. Become a pure devotee of mine and give yourself to me only, and I promise you full spiritual existence by which you may gain the eternal right of transcendental loving service to me. So instead of surrender to me like Gita, he says, give yourself to me. Now, that makes you think like a lover and beloved. That Krishna, he's very... So Prabhupada, such a sweet translation Prabhupada gives of that, of those verses. Give yourself to me. So that's what we should do. We should surrender to Krishna. Krishna is calling us by that verse. Surrender to me, that's his call. Like Prabhupada called us, Krishna is calling us. Surrender to me. Give yourself to me. Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, he explains why we should surrender to Krishna. You may say, why should I surrender? Well, here's some reasons why. First, Prahlad says, the mind is trapping me with so many desires, unlimited varieties. How can I get free from this mind unless I surrender to you? Now, that's the first reason. Second reason, I'm being crushed by time. Yes. All of us. Now, it used to be just the old people. You look in the mirror and you see how you're being crushed by time. A new wrinkle here, a new wrinkle there. A new pain in a different place. If you wake up in the morning and there's no pain, that means you're probably dead. so, yeah, that's old age. That's old age, yeah. You look in the mirror and you can realize I am not that body because you don't identify with it anymore. It's not to your liking. But so we're being crushed by time, and not everybody's being crushed now, not just the old people. everybody's being crushed by time now, all these pandemic, and if you try to travel, it's so difficult. This form, that form. I almost didn't make it to Vrindavan because I forgot one form to fill out. They didn't let me board in London, but they filled it out. I mean, they let me go. So I was praying to Balaram, and he was fast, so I could board. Anyway, yeah, it's very difficult now. And so Prabhupada is feeling, I'm being crushed by time. We think, no, it's okay. But this is our ignorance. And when I was in the 60s, there was a philosophy, I'm okay, you're okay. And Prabhupada said, I'm okay, you're not okay. And so that's how he's thought about that philosophy. So if we want to be saved from the crushing of time, we have to turn to prayer. Lord Chaitanya says, Ai nanda tanuja patitam kinkaramam. I'm your servant. I forgot you. I've fallen here. Please pick me up. I realized I'm suffering. I'm being crushed by the wheel of time. Yeah, one time I saw my son, he put on Facebook a picture of the ocean and like a hand coming out like this. I didn't know what that means, but I thought, well, maybe it means, don't worry, I'm okay. Or so then I gave this verse, yes, please pick me up from this ocean. So everybody thinks, no problem, it's not a problem. Of course, now maybe people don't think so much that way with the pandemic. So that's another reason we're being crushed by time. Another reason to surrender is that everything's temporary. When I was in Christchurch in New Zealand, it was an earthquake zone. So they had a huge earthquake and the whole city was crushed in 45 seconds. The whole city came down. And so I was there and there were a few tremors. So like I was like 2:30 at night, I was in my bed. I woke up and I started chanting because that's what I do when I can't sleep. And all of a sudden a big loud crash. I thought, oh my God, it's an earthquake. Oh, what happens if my computer falls on the floor? My first thought. No, I went back to chanting, but I was too scared to get my computer. Anyway, then another time it happened. It was 9:30. I was just going to sleep, and I was hearing the children. Four children were running across what I thought was, you know, the ceiling, and all of a sudden the house started swaying back and forth. I said, "Oh, it's not the children. it's a tremor." So very temporary, our existence here. Now we see people are dying. People are dying from this COVID. But the funny thing is when I came out to see how the family was after that house swaying back and forth, I see they were all on the computer seeing, they were playing a game, guessing who wins the game, guessing how much strength this tremor was. I say 4.9, I say 4.5. And they were all seeing who got the biggest, who had the right number of the tremor. Anyway, they're used to it. But we're like that too, you know. We think, okay, it's, you know, a little trouble here, a little trouble there. I'm managing. No, it's temporary. And when I was driving in that city after the earthquake, all these signs were there for the speed limit, 30. Temporary. 40, temporary. Because they were rebuilding the city and everything was temporary and you really felt that. People were living on the beach. I met one lady on the beach and she said, I still have to pay rent even though I can't live in my apartment because it's damaged. I still have to pay rent. Or it was in a red zone or something. Anyway, yeah, it's temporary. And so Krishna comes as death and takes everything away. When Prabhupada was on a morning walk, he saw a sign, detour. Temporary inconvenience, permanent improvement. And Prabhupada said, permanent inconvenience and no improvement. That's this material world. So we have to, that's why we should surrender. It's temporary, it's not, we're not gonna be here that long. Now the next reason why we should surrender, Prahlad says, that we're looking for happiness, but it's like a mirage in the desert. And Prahlad says, for this body, what is its value? It's a source of various diseases. So happiness is very difficult to get here. And if you get it, it's always mixed with something else. So Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked a question, Mahabharata, what is the news? And what is the news? We read the newspapers, or we hear, we don't read newspapers anymore. We hear it online. What is the news? What is the news? So what did Yudhisthira Maharaj say? Well, this universe is like a frying pan, and we're all being fried. And the cook is time. And the fuel is the days and nights. And so, and some of us are well done in that frying pan of the material world. No happiness. So these are all like kind of negative reasons why we should surrender. There's a positive reason too. We'll get causeless mercy. Mercy we don't deserve. And that's what Prahlad says. He says, we will get causeless mercy if we surrender. Nisringadeva placed his hand on Prahlad's head. That was very special mercy that even Lakshmi and Shiva and Brahma didn't get. So if we follow this process of deity worship, chanting, then we'll get to asakti, we'll get attachment for Krishna and go back to Godhead. So I would just like to end with one example of a devotee lady who went back to Godhead in Mayapur some years ago. And it was on Facebook. I was watching it on Facebook. And I saw all these sannyasis coming, Jayapataka Maharaj, Ramnath Swami, coming to her bedside. Why was that? She was very special. So her husband was writing to the people, you know, on Facebook, they'll make so many comments. So he was answering each of the comments. He said, she's so happy. And she said, you gave me so many wonderful days. We traveled the world and preached. But now this is, you saved the best for last. Can you imagine? You're dying of cancer. She's not eating. She's not, this is the best part of my life. How can that be? So there is the comment that people say on Facebook, somebody said, we pray she will soon be well. And her husband said, yes, she will very soon be perfectly well forever. She'll get her spiritual body. So next comment, I feel very sad to see her in this condition. I said, who's sad? She's blissful. Her body, the boat, was given to cross the ocean. Now she's crossed, and she's glorious. She doesn't need the boat anymore. It all has to stay on this side, and only the soul arrives, and we get our service with Krishna. Other friends said, I hope she recovers soon. Yes, we lost our identity by misusing our free will. So yes, very soon she's recovering her spiritual identity. Yes, she will recover very soon. The next comment, I pray she may rest in peace. We're not the body. We don't go in the coffin. Just the body does. The body's not resting. It's becoming dust, ashes. For us, the party is just beginning. She's not going to rest. She's going to go join the party. Now, there's an everyday party in the spiritual world. And and when you go back to Godhead, you just join the party. You join the eternal party back to Godhead. Another person said, don't give up on life, but life is eternal, and you can't give it up. How can you give up your eternal spirit soul? Another said, there's a doctor who has saved many lives. I said, no, doctors can't save lives, only Krishna. Krishna is our doctor now, and the medicine is the holy name. And so she was having kirtan all the time. Other friends said, may you have strength in this time of difficulties. And no, by Krishna's grace, he gave me the association of my wife for 25 years. We shared Krishna with so many people. So we're preparing for this moment. And don't feel offended. I asked how we are, and I'm honestly explaining you our lucky situation. So in Mayapur, it was the second day of Kirtan Mela, Ekadashi. It was Mangalarti time, and she asked her husband, are the deities open? He said, yes. Then she asked, because her husband was an astrologer, is it a good time to leave? He said yes, and she left. So there we go. And she was just a simple devotee, mother of two children, not a speaker, not so anybody can do it, but we have to follow the process that Prabhupada's given us. And, there's an example. She was not a Prabhupada disciple. She was just one of you. So just try for it. Just try to follow the process Prabhupada has given, and you will definitely have success. I could read a little bit about Vasudev Ghosh. It's his appearance day today. So he was a singer. Vasudev Ghosh and his two brothers, Madhava and Govinda, are eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. They performed sweet melodious kirtans. Whenever they sang, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda would dance in ecstasy. And they were leading the chanting in Rath Yatra, one of the groups, the seven groups. So, and Vasudev Ghosh was also preaching by his music. He wrote many Bengali songs about Lord Chaitanya, still sung by devotees. And one song he says, if Lord Gaura had not appeared in this age of Kali, how could we tolerate living? He has given the very essence, the very charm of life, divine love, without which it is impossible to live in this world. Without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how could we ever know Srimati Radharani reigns supreme in the kingdom of divine love? Having received all these things from Lord Gaurahari, we think life is worth living. In another bhajan he says, your former lila as Lord Ramachandra, you became famous for constructing a floating bridge of stones across the sea to Sri Lanka. Now, in this Kali Yuga, you've given us the bridge of Harinam Sankirtan, by which even the lame and blind can cross the sea of birth and death and attain the supreme spiritual happiness. So he's Guna Tunga Saki and Radha Madhava's Nitya Lila in Braj. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions or comments. Yes, Maharaj. Mike, you have a mic?
Thank you, Mandy. My question is, you mentioned about costless mercy.
Yeah.
And why is it called costless mercy if we have to chant, we have to attend Mangal Arati, we have to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam class to receive that mercy? Seems to be.
That's a very nice question, thank you. Of course, our philosophy is that we depend on two things, our endeavor and Krishna's mercy. So our endeavor must be there, but ultimately it's the mercy. We know that we do things and we don't do them perfectly. We may go to Mangal Arati sometimes, or maybe sometimes not. We may chant attentively sometimes, sometimes not. So that's where the mercy comes in. That I can give you an example, again, of another lady who left her body here in Vrindavan. Her name was Nanda Mataji. She came here to die of multiple sclerosis. And for 20 years she didn't die. She was dying for 20 years. And but she couldn't chant properly. She couldn't put her hand in the bead bag sometimes. She couldn't get up. She was listening to lectures. So just before she left her body, she had a vision of being with Srila Prabhupada. And they were walking on the path back to Godhead. And Prabhupada was right next to her, and she was walking with Prabhupada. On both sides of the path, people were criticizing, she's a woman, she can't go. She didn't do her sadhana properly. She couldn't chant her, she didn't chant 16 rounds every day. People were criticizing both sides of the path. So that's our position, you know, who are we? How is our sadhana? So Prabhupada turned to the people and he said, it's okay, she's with me. So, that's what we have to do. Surrender for us means surrender to Srila Prabhupada's mission, to his mood, to his books, to his instructions, and then that's where the mercy comes in.
So we should try our best. And
yeah. Yes, yes, and Prabhupada. And Prabhupada will make up for. In fact, he said that a few times. I think Dinabandhu was in the class one time. Jayapataka was in the. I think Dinabandhu in Los Angeles. He said that if you just simply chant Hare Krishna and follow the four good principles, I guarantee you will go back to Godhead in this life. So yeah, we have to do our side of the bargain. We have to do our work, and try our best. But even if it's imperfectly done, then the mercy comes in. Prabhupada sees our intention. He sees our how we're trying.
Sincerity.
Sincerity. Yes, thank you. That's what I meant. Thank you for that. Anybody else has a question or a comment? Yes, somebody over here. One lady.
Mataji, my question is that by Krishna's mercy that I'm really fortunate that I've got this Krishna consciousness and I'm since 10 years I'm with this. But my siblings are not in the Krishna consciousness.
Your what?
Yes.
Your siblings.
My
okay.
Siblings.
Yeah, I didn't hear the word.
Yeah, so my Prabhuji means my husband was also not there, but now he has come to me and I know. Monks in my temple, they told me that this through the prasadam, I can bring him
That's the best.
Into this Krishna consciousness. But what about my siblings? They are far away from me and they are totally cut off with me because they feel me that a crazy person. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I'm having, you can understand that I'm having to be saying Hindi Vatsalya Bhav. I'm the eldest daughter, eldest sister. So I feel my all the siblings, they should also come into Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Okay, there's an answer for that. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, if a pure devotee is born in a family, how many generations before and after will be liberated? If a Madhyama, if a preacher is born in a family, 14 generations before, 14 generations after will be liberated. If a neophyte devotee is born in a family, 3 generations before and 3 generations after, so if you just remain a devotee, they will be benefited. And so one devotee asked Prabhupada, well, what kind of liberation do these people get? And they also asked Prabhupada, does this include brothers, sisters, mother, father, uncles, aunts? He said, yes, everyone is included. They will all be liberated if you just remain a devotee of Krishna, even beginning devotee, neophyte devotee, 3 generation before, 3 generation after. So then one devotee asked Prabhupada, well, what kind of liberation do they get? And Prabhupada said, they will become devotees. That's their liberation. So don't worry. You just be really good and do give them prasad. That will help. Yeah. Yes, in the back. Hare Krishna. In the microphone, I can't hear you.
Krishna don't see our perfections. He sees our sincerity.
So how can we judge our sincerity? Whether we are truly sincere or not?
I can't. You have to speak slower. I didn't get it.
Krishna sees our perfections.
Krishna sees.
How does Krishna know if we're genuinely sincere?
How does Krishna know if we're genuinely sincere? He'll test you. How can we know? So, yeah, how can you know if you pass the test? He will test you. Something will happen in your life that you may not appreciate so much. Will you say, thank you, Krishna, for giving me this opportunity to remember you more? You will get your test, don't worry. Don't worry about how to know if you're sincere. And not only that, other devotees will tell you too, if you stay here long enough. Prabhuji, what are you doing?
Thank you so much, Mataji, for your wonderful class. And the 4 points which you mentioned are so beautiful, that how can we get attracted to Krishna?
Yeah.
Related to that, I have a question that what stops me living? You need to surrender Acharya, like Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So can you throw some light on that?
What stops us? Well, actually, Queen Kunti tells us what stops us. There's four things. Four things she says why we get, what's stopping us. First of all, there's a curtain of Maya, Yoga Mahamaya, which is covering us. I can't remember the exact Sanskrit of the verse. So there's Maya. And then Krishna is way beyond, so we can't understand him. So we think, you know, I don't know him, I can't relate with him. That stops us. And then another thing is agya, ignorance, agya. And the third thing is mudha drisha. That's our vision of a mudha. We think like a fool. We think like a fool, and therefore we don't want to surrender. We think, I'd rather surrender to something else than Krishna, because they will give me immediate pleasure. But Krishna, you know, it might take some time to get the benefits. Yeah, it's Shreyas and Preyas. Shreyas, we have immediate pleasure we go for. Then there's Preyas, and that's what's our actual eternal benefit. Actually, there's a beautiful verse in 11th canto, the end of Uddhava Gita, where Krishna tells Uddhava that a clever person will use the temporary to achieve the eternal. So we've got so much temporary things here. If we use them to achieve Krishna, then that's cleverness and that's intelligence. So that's the clever person sees, I'm just here a short time, and so better I use it for Krishna and use it for my eternal benefit. Okay, you can look, that's 29th chapter, end of 29th, I think verse 22, 11, 29, 22, beautiful verse, Any other?
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Mataji, thank you so much for a wonderful presentation. You quoted a verse from second canto, where Sukadeva Goswami is telling that a person who is practicing bhakti has huge present and future.
He'll be protected.
Yeah. So I just want to verify a philosophical point in this.
Okay.
Let's say somebody is practicing bhakti for 1 year, he practices for 1 year and then gives it up, and then he eats a sinful life for, let's say, next 20 years. So how does the sinful reaction of next 20 years get to that?
Yeah, well, if you break the contract, then you can't lose it. Well, you don't lose whatever you've done. This is the point. Even though you may do something that's not Krishna conscious, what you have done is not lost. Unless you commit offenses to devotees, then it won't be lost, but it will be covered and stopped for a long time. So you may go and fall into Maya, that's okay, but don't make Vaishnava aparad. I mean, it's not okay to fall into Maya. I shouldn't say that. it's not okay. But you'll be forgiven much easier than if you commit offenses to devotees. And Krishna won't let you go. I could tell you a funny story. in Ireland, I probably told it a few years ago, there was one devotee who left Krishna consciousness because... in the early days, we didn't use toilet paper. In India, you don't use it either much. But this was in the West. And he says, you know, there's no toilet paper in this temple. Not only that, I have to get up so early, 3:30 in the morning. So he left Krishna consciousness. He got a job, night shift. So one night, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and he is thinking, wow, this is worse. I used to have to get up at 4. This is 1. Then he was in this factory. He didn't exactly. And then he punctured one of the big boxes that he was in the factory, and out on his head came hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. So Krishna was giving him a message that Krishna doesn't let you go so easily. Just like Ajamila, Krishna didn't let him go. So devotees, it's not easy to get out once you've come in. You may go, you may do something, but Krishna will remind you to come back. Yes? Okay, this is the last one. It's almost 9.
Thank you, my question is like, whenever we hear a Bhagavatam class or we Prabhupada books, there are two thoughts which come. One is, you need to improve, you want to improve in bhakti.
You can.
And second is, that whatever you are doing, there is the mercy of Krishna and Prabhupada, you will eventually be successful. So should we be satisfied with our endeavors or should we try to improve?
Well, of course. We should not be satisfied with our endeavors, ever. Because, you know what, when you go to the spiritual world, you can improve there too. You don't just sit and chant and, you know, it's always expanding. So when we join, now we're joining a spiritual movement. So here is expanding, and we don't stop expanding, we don't stop improving. Even in the spiritual world, there's room for improvement. Love is expanding. The service is expanding. So, yeah, don't stop improving. Okay. Jai. Uh-oh, one more question. Well, it's 9 o'clock. What should I do? Take the question? Okay. This is the very last question. Okay.
I'm going to be asking another question, which is an extension.
Okay.
We may be practicing spiritual life, and we may be very committed to it, but at the same time, circumstances may be that we might have to engage ourselves in something which is very perverted to what we do. So in that case, what is the destiny of that samatha?
Engage yourself in, what did you say?
Engage ourselves in activities which are pretty perverted to what we practice.
Which are not... opposite.
Yes.
Yeah, as long as it's not the 4 sinful activities. You don't have a whiskey factory or don't sell meat. But we're living in the material world, you have to do that, but there has to be a balance. And you have to make sure you don't go off balance. You know, if you go off balance, then it might be too late. So when you can always ask your superiors what they think also. Your guru, sadhu, shastra. You know, ask your question, open up the Gita and see what Gita says. Ask your guru, ask your fellow devotees. Okay, Hare Krishna. Agoi Shri Prabhupada.